Jasmine.
Good evening.
Good evening. Ruby.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the honor of the prayer.
Okay.
Due to the static and the background noise, I had to mute your phone, so you can ask questions by pressing star 6. We brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to say the 13 attributes of mercy in order to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Verav Chesed Be'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Nasea won wafesha, the chata'a venake. We're now going to connect to the Zohar verse for certainty. It comes from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we'll start with the Lishem Yichud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimud Hilud Hilu Urchimu Le'akka L'shem Yud Hei Bevav Hei V'yehuda Shilin B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Konenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Tar Tane Nan Dehud Shabarichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Wittata Golaihu Kishot V'yovada Dikshot V'le'ilach Mila Bi'alma Devae Parnash Ladafya Leya Mileya Ulan Hagabeya Kilana Dehapuru Ovadadikshot Vinun Wikola Itzterich Bidalma. We're going to connect to the energy of the year 5778, which is bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that we will study. The first is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayichal v'yavo, Hamelech miroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech tavo, Natamar achoti, Ut labev leene, Shite levivot vievre, Miada. The second verse that connects to this energy of 5778 is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. In this verse, the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Het, is concealed. The name of the year, the letters of the name of the year, are separated by three letters each. Chata'ati odiapa, va'avoni lo kisiti, amarti ode ale kashpesha'a. La donai ohe wahe, we ata nasata, avon khatati sela. The year 5777, the energy of the, known as, has the energy of the goat. This verse also has two verses that connect to its energy. The first is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod tzaduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we are able to create satzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we get Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba adonai yo he wahe Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehashik et kol haolot vayehaskum afechem halevim ad kelo tamlacha the Adit Kachu Hakohanim, Ki Alivim, Yishre Leval, Leit Kadesh, Me Hakohanim. When we take the first letter of these 25 words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Lala He, Wa 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 yo la yo ala me hey 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 aka a pray ka ha The second verse connecting to the energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bihu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur olamim. The year 5775 has three verses that connect to its energy, which is swallowing death forever. The first verse we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23, Uru udu mikol hamachavoyam asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'chalakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'hipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is from Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanesach yoved ro'av yomru ayo. The year 5774, the energy of which is peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Vesamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakan tafta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. During Kislev, the month connected to this energy of silence, we do not say them out loud, but scan them. And we do that, I'll say the name of the row so that we can stay connected together. Row 1. Row 2. Row 3. Row 4, row 5, row 6, row 7, row 8, row 9. There are some of the names connect directly to the year 5778, name number 13, name number 14, and name number 30. The 72 names from the Tzaddikim we follow in the same manner. I will say just the row number. Row 1. Row 2. Row 3. Row 4. Row 5. Row 6. Row 7. Row 8. Row 9. Name number 30 is in the same location, the same letters as name number 30 in the 72 names of God. And that name connects directly with the or 5778. Today's tzaddikim who left, chose to leave this day, the 17th day of Kislev. Rabbeinu Avraham ben HaRambam, he was the son of the Rambam, and he wrote a book in Arabic, which has been translated into English, which is very excellent. I highly recommend you get it. It is available on Amazon. It's an amazing book, especially the chapter on cleaving to Hashem. Rabbi Noach of Ludmir, Rabbi Yosef Yotzi Horowitz, Rabbi Chai Taib of Tunisia, Rabbi Shlomo Hyman, Rabbi Abraham Yochanan Blumenthal. In the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say in a whisper. So our class tonight is continuing our study of an essay by Rabbi Ashlag. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 16, the right-hand column. It's in the right-hand column of the matrix in row 16. When you open up that landing page, scroll down to class 32B, and that's where we will begin at section 7. Before we begin, are there any questions? In order to ask a question, you need to unmute your phone by pressing star 6. Now you will understand their words, that divinity in the lower ones is a high need. This is a most perplexing statement, though it goes hand in hand with the above study. And I am adding, what is the definition of divinity in the physical world? The dictionary defines divinity as the state of being a god. Thus, we realize that the soul starts as an aspect of God and then separates to become a receiver, a human being, and then returns to the endless world where one is again an aspect of God. What an amazing circle of unification. What actually is the purpose in this circle? Continuing to read. They have compared the matter to a king who has a tower filled abundantly, and no guests are in the tower. It is certain that he sits and waits for guests, for his whole preparation will be in vain. It is like a great king who had a son when he was already old and was very fond of his son. Hence, from the day of his birth, he thought favorable thoughts about him. He collected all the books and the finest scholars and built schools for him. He gathered the finest builders in the land and built palaces of pleasure for him. He collected all the musicians and the singers and built him concert halls. He assembled the best chefs and bakers in the land and served him every delicacy in the world, and so on and so forth. Alas, the boy grew up to be a fool with no wish for knowledge. He was also blind and could not see or feel the beauty of the buildings. And he was deaf and could not hear the singers. Sadly, he was diabetic and was permitted to eat only coarse flour bread, arising contempt and wrath. arousing, contempt, and wrath. Now you can understand their words about the verse, I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. The Sanhedrin interpreted, not rewarded in its time, rewarded, I will hasten it. Thus, there are two ways to attain the above-mentioned goal, through their own attention, which is called a path of repentance, or teshuvah. If they are awarded that, then I will hasten it. And that concept will be applied to them. This means that there is no set time for it. But when they are awarded the correction ends, when they are awarded this path, the correction ends, of course. If they are not awarded the attention, there is another way called the path of suffering. As the Sanhedrin said, I place upon them a king, such as Haman, and they will repent against their will, meaning in its time, for in that path there is a set time. And I explain. It is my understanding that the set time is the year 6000. At that time, there will be in control of various nations 10 of the most negative souls in the history of the world. In our current world, there are negative kings over these following countries, and this is my opinion. There's a negative king over Russia, North Korea, the Philippines, Iran, Turkey. It does not appear to me that the other five have arrived, and thus we can still bring Mashiach by having himself, Hashem, hasten it by doing teshuvah. Continuing to read. By that they wanted to show us that his ways are not our ways. For this reason, the case of the flesh and blood king, who had troubled so to prepare those great things for his beloved son, and was finally tormented in every way, and all his trouble was in vain, bringing contempt and wrath, will not happen to him. Instead, all the deeds of the Creator are guaranteed and true, and there is no fraud in him. This is what our sages said, not rewarded in its time, what the will does not do. Time will do as it is written. Canst thou send forth lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? There is a path of pain that can cleanse any defect and materialism until one realizes how to raise one's head out of the beastly crib, to soar and climb the rungs of the ladder of happiness and human success. For one will cleave to one's roots and complete the aim. That's the end of section 7. Are there any questions? Section 8. Therefore, come and see how grateful we should be to our teachers who impart us their sacred lights and dedicate their souls to do good to our souls. They stand in the middle between the path of harsh torments and the path of repentance. They save us from the netherworld, which is harder than death, and accustom us to reach the heavenly pleasures. The sublime gentleness and the pleasantness that is our share, ready and waiting for us from the very beginning. As we have said above, each of them operates in his generation according to the power of the light of his Torah and his sanctity. Our sages have already said, you have not a generation without such as Abraham, as Isaac, and as Jacob. Indeed, that godly man, our Rav, Isaac Luria, troubled and provided us the fullest measure. He did wondrously more than his predecessors. And if I had a tongue that praises, I would praise that day when his wisdom appeared almost as the day when the Torah was given to Israel. There are not enough words to measure his holy work in our favor. The doors of attainment were locked and bolted, and he came and opened them for us. Thus all who wish to enter the king's palace need only purify and sanctify, and to go and bathe and shave their hair and wear clean clothes to properly stand before the sublime kingship. You find a 38-year-old who subdued with his wisdom all his predecessors through the genius and through all time. All the elders of the land, the gallant shepherds, the friends, the disciples of the godly sage, the Ramak, stood before him as disciples before the Rav. All the sages of the generations following them to this day, none missing, have abandoned all the books and compositions that precede him. The Kabbalah of the Ramak, the Kabbalah of the first, and the Kabbalah of the genius, blessed be the memory of them all. They have attached their spiritual life entirely and solely to this holy wisdom. Naturally, it is not without merit that a total victory is awarded, as this young in years father of wisdom has. Alas, the devil's work succeeded, and obstacles were placed along the path of expansion of his wisdom into a holy nation, and only very few have begun to conquer them. This was so primarily because the words were written by heresy, as he had interpreted the wisdom day by day before his disciples, who were already elderly and with great proficiency in the Zohar and the Tikkunim, the corrections, the Tikkuni Zohar. In most cases, the holy sayings were arranged according to the profound questions that they asked him, each according to his own interest. For this reason, he did not convey the wisdom in a suitable order, as with compositions that preceded him. We find in the text that the Ari himself had wished to bring the issues in order in that regard. See the beginning of the sayings of the Rashbi in the interpretation of the Idra Zuta, in a short introduction by Rav Chaim Vital. There is also the short time of his teaching, since his entire time of the seminary, was some 17 months, as is said in the Gate of Reincarnations, Gate 8. Since he arrived in Sfat from Egypt soon before Pesach in the year 1571, and at that time Rav Chaim Vital was 29 years of age, and in July of 1572, on the eve of Shabbat, on the Parashat of Matot Maasai, the beginning of the month of Av, he fell ill, and on Tuesday the 5th of Av, on the following week, he passed away. It is also written in the Gate of Reincarnations that upon his demise, he ordered Rav Chaim Vital to not teach the wisdom to others and permitted him to study only by himself and in a whisper. The rest of the friends were forbidden to engage in it altogether because he said that they did not understand the wisdom properly. This is the reason why Rav Chaim Vital did not arrange the text at all and left them unorganized. Naturally, he did not explain the connections between the matters, so it would not be as a teaching others. This is the reason we find such great caution on his part, as is known to those proficient in the writings of the Ari. The arrangements found in the writings of the Ari were arranged and organized by a third generation, in three times and by three compilers. The first compiler was the sage Mahari Tzmach. He lived at the same time of the Mahara Azulai, who passed away in the year 1644. A large portion of the text came by him, and he arranged many books from them. The most important among them is the book Adam Yashar, Upright Man, in which he collected the root and the essential teachings that were at his disposal. However, some of the books of that this Rav had compiled were lost. In the introductions to his book, in the Kol Beirama, A Loud Voice, he presents all the books that he had compiled, but we do not have all of them. The second compiler is the disciple Maharam Paparish. He did more than his Rav, since some of the books that were held by the sage Maharash Vital came by his hands, and he compiled many books. The most important among them are the books Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life, and Pri Etz Chaim, the Fruit of the Tree of Life. They contain the entire scope of the wisdom in its fullest sense. The third compiler was the sage Maharash Vital, the son of Maharar Chaim Vital. He was a great and renowned sage. He compiled the famous Eight Gates from the patrimony his father had left him. Thus we see that each of the compilers did not have the complete writings. It heavily burdened the arrangement of the issues, which are unsuitable for those without the proficiency in the Zohar and the Tikkunim. Hence few are those who ascend. I am explaining. If one does not grow step by step, but tries to jump a step, that person will easily be drawn astray. Since none of the three have all of the writings, their books are skipping steps for the uninitiated. This is the end of section 8. Before I start section 9, does anyone have any questions? Section 9. In return for that, we are privileged by him to have been rewarded with the spirit of the Baal Shem Tov, whose greatness and sanctity are beyond any word and any utterance. He was not gazed upon and will not be gazed upon, except by those worthy that had served under his light, and they too only intermittently, each according to what he received in his heart. It is true that the light of the Torah and the holy wisdom are built primarily on the holy foundations of the Ari. However, they are not at all similar. I shall explain that with an allegory of a person who is drowning in the river, rising and sinking as drowning people do. Sometimes only the hair is visible, and then a counsel is sought to sketch him by his head. Other times his body appears as well, and then a counsel is sought to catch him from opposite his heart. So is the matter before us. After Israel has drowned in the evil waters of the exile, in the nations, from then until now they rise and fall, and not all times are the same. At the time of the Ari, only the head was visible. Hence, the Ari had trouble in our favor to save us through the mind. At the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there was relief. Hence, it was a blessing for us to save us from opposite our heart. And that was a great and true salvation for us. And for our many sins, the wheel has been turned over again in our generation. And we have declined tremendously, as though from the zenith to the nadir. In addition, there is the collision of the nations, which has confused the entire world. The needs have increased, and the mind grew short and corrupted in the filth of materialism, which apprehends the lead. Servants ride horses, and ministers walk on the earth. And everything that is said in our study in the above-mentioned Masechet Sutta has come true in us. For our many sins, again, the iron wall has been erected, even on this great light of the Baal Shem Tov, which we have said illuminated as far as the establishment of our complete redemption. And the wise of heart did not believe in the possibility that a generation would come when they could not see by the light. Now our eyes have darkened, we have been robbed of good. And when I saw this, I said, it is time to act. Thus I have come to open widely the gates of light of the Ari, for he is indeed capable and fit for our generation. Also, and two are better than one. We should not be blamed for the brevity in my composition, since it corresponds and adapts to any wisdom lover, as too much wine wears off the flavor, and the attainment will become harder for the disciple. Also, we are not responsible for those fat at heart, since the language to assist them has yet to be created. Wherever they rest their eyes, they find folly, and there is a rule that from the same source from which the wise draws his wisdom, the fool draws his folly. Thus I stand at the outset of my book and warn that I have not troubled at all for all those who love to look through the windows. Rather, it is for those who care for the words of the Creator and long for the Creator and his goodness, to complete the purpose for which they were created. For with the will of Hashem, the verse, all those who seek me shall find me, shall come true in them. Are there any questions? Come and see the words of the sage, Rabbi Eben Ezra, in his book, Yesod Morah. And now note and know that all the mitzvot that are written in the Torah or the conventions that the fathers have established, although they are mostly in action or in speech, they are all in order to correct the heart. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. It is written, to them that are upright in their hearts. Its opposite is a heart that devises wicked thoughts. I have found one verse that contains all the mitzvot, which is, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve. The word fear contains all the negative mitzvot in speech, in heart, and in action. It is the first degree from which one ascends to the work of Hashem, which contains all the positive mitzvot. These will accustom one's heart and guide one until one cleaves to the Lord. As for that was man created. He was not created for acquiring fortunes or for building buildings. Hence, one should seek everything that will bring one to love him, to learn wisdom, and to seek faith. And the Creator will open the eyes of his heart and will renew a different spirit within him. Then he will be loved by his Maker in his life. Know that the Torah was given only to men of heart. Words are as corpses, and the ta'amim, flavors, as souls. If one does not understand the ta'amim, one's whole effort is in vain. The labor is blown away. And I explain. The word ta'amim is the trope. These are the notes that are used to chant the Torah. They are much more. In spirituality, less is more. It is though one exerts oneself to count the letters and the words in a medicine book. No cure will come from this labor. It is also like a camel carrying silk. It does not benefit the silk, nor does the silk benefit it. We draw only this from the words, hold on to the goal for which man was created. He says aloud, he says about it, that this is the matter of the divakut with the Creator. Hence he says that one must search every means to bring one to love him, to learn wisdom and to seek faith, until the Creator rewards one with opening one's eyes and renewing a different spirit within him. At that time, he shall be loved by his Maker. He deliberately makes that precision to be loved by his Maker in his life. It indicates that while he has not acquired that, his words are incomplete, and the work that was necessarily given to us to do today, it is as he ends it, that the Torah was only given to men of heart, meaning ones who have acquired the wisdom, the heart, to love and covet him. The sages call them wise at heart. Since there is no longer a descending beastly spirit there, for the evil inclination is present only in a heart vacant from wisdom. He interprets and says that the words are as corpses and the ta'amim as souls of one does not understand the ta'amim. It is similar to exerting oneself, counting pages and words in a medicine book. This exertion will not yield a remedy. He wishes to say that one is compelled to find the means to acquire the above-mentioned possession. It is because then one can taste the flavors of Torah, which is the interior wisdom and its mysteries, and the flavors of mitzvah, which are the interior love and the desire for him. Without it, one has only the words and the actions, dead bodies without souls. It is like one who labors, counting pages and words in a medicine book. Certainly he will not perfect himself in medicine before he understands the meaning of the written medicine. Even after one purchases it for whatever price is asked, if the conduct of the study and the actions are not arranged to bring him to it, it is like a camel carrying silk. It does not benefit the silk, and the silk does not benefit it, to bring it to complete the aim for which it was created. Are there any questions? Please confirm that that I'm still connected.
Mm-hmm.
We are still connected.
Thank you.
You're connected.
Thank you. I will continue with section 11. According to these words, our eyes have been opened concerning the words of Rabbi Shimon in the Midrash Rabbah about the verse, "Let us make man." When the Creator came to create man, he consulted the ministering angels, and they were divided into sects and groups. Some said, "Let him be created," and some said, "Let him not be created. As it is written, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Mercy said, "Let him be created, for he does merciful actions." Truth said, "Let him not be created, for he is all lies." Righteousness said, "Let him be created, for he performs righteousness." And peace said, "Let him not be created, for he is all strife." What did the Creator do? He took truth and threw it to the ground. As it is written, "And it cast down truth to the ground." The angel said before the Creator, "Why did you degrace your seal? Let truth come up from the ground, as it is written, truth springs out of the ground." And this text is difficult from all sides. One, it does not explain the seriousness of the verse, "Let us make man." Is it a counsel that he needs? As it is written, deliverance in the heart of a counsel. Two, regarding the truth, how can it be said about the entire human species that it is all lies, when there is not a generation without such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Three, in the words of truth are earnest, how did the angels of mercy and righteousness agree to a world that is all lies? Four, why is truth called seal, which comes at the edge of a letter? Certainly, the reality exists primarily outside the seal. Is there no reality at all outside the borders of truth? Five, can true angels think of the true operator, that his operation is untrue? Six, why did truth deserve such a harsh punishment to be thrown to the ground and into the ground? And seven, why is the angel's reply not brought in the Torah, as their question is brought? We must understand these two conducts set before our eyes, which are completely opposite. These are the conducts of the existence of the entire reality, of this world, and the conducts of the manners of existence for the sustenance of each and every one in the reality before us. From this end, we find a reliable conduct in utterly affirmed guidance, which controls the making of each and every creature in reality. Let us take the making of a human being as an example. The love and pleasure are its first reason, certain and reliable for its task. As soon as it is uprooted from the Father's brain, Providence provides it a safe and guaranteed place among the beddings in the mother's abdomen, so no stranger may touch it. There, Providence provides it with its daily bread in the right measure. It tends to its every need without forgetting it for even a moment, until it gains strength to come out to the air of our world, which is full of obstacles. At that time, Providence lends its power and strength, and like an armed, experienced hero, it opens gates and breaks the walls until it comes to such people it can trust to help it through its days of weakness, with love and great compassion to sustain its existence, as they are the most precious for it in the whole world. Thus providence embraces it until it qualifies it to exist and continue its existence onward. As with is with the man, so it is with the animate of and the flora. All are wondrously watched, securing their existence, and every scientist of nature knows it. On the other end, when we regard the order of existence and sustenance in the modes of existence of the whole of reality, large and small, we find confused. Orders as if an army is fleeing the campaign, sick, beaten, and afflicted by the Creator. Their whole life is as death, having no sustenance unless by tormenting first, risking their lives for their bread. Even a tiny louse breaks its teeth when it sets off for a meal. How much frisking it frisks to attain enough food to sustain itself. As it is, so are all, great and small alike, and all the more so with humans, the elite of creation who are involved in everything. I am adding, please notice that Rabbi Ashlag is describing the existence and sustenance of the three levels is relatively easy, while the animal level is relatively difficult. Are there any questions?
Yes, I do have a question. Remember, I had asked a question about, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and in the beginning in the book of Genesis where you're speaking about God is talking to, I guess, these angels, and he says, let us make man in our likeness and our image.
Yes.
And my question is, you had mentioned that the angels were against God creating man because he would fall into sin. And you mentioned one as being, was it truth?
Well,
and I forget the other one.
I don't remember what I said exactly, but I typically bring this midrash because I've read it in a number of different places, and a number of different sages have commented upon it. So you have the four.
Okay.
You have mercy and righteousness and truth and peace.
So both
you need
those,
to contemplate.
Okay, go ahead.
You need to contemplate a lot. Because why did he put those four attributes and not any other four? And why did mercy said to create man because he'll do merciful things. But why not truth? Because people don't always lie. Even though the verse says that that everyone does lie. So there's a lot to contemplate in this story, which is why I ended with this story. And I'll probably start next week with the same story again.
Okay.
But please continue with your questions.
Well, I guess my next question was, when you talk about, when we speak about humans and, our goal, our purpose in life is refinement of who we are. When God
right.
is speaking with the angel, and you think about the 10 Sephiroth, were we missing? Was man missing part of that refinement in those areas that are represented?
Not before the sin. Before the sin of Adam, man was given one mitzvah. And that mitzvah was to not eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And if he had gone through one whole day and could completed a Shabbat without making that mistake, without eating from that fruit, the correction would have been complete. Everything was there. There was just one last thing that he had to do, that we had to do. And we failed. So now let's look at those four attributes. Mercy. Adam did merciful things. He named the animals. He brought children. Righteousness. Was Adam a righteous man? I think you would say yes. Truth. Was Adam truthful? The answer is no, he wasn't. But he was not truthful, or he was truthful prior to eating from the tree of knowledge, good and evil.
So, he wasn't, prior to eating, he was perfect, right?
He wasn't, he was almost perfect. Otherwise, he would not have had the two mitzvot. He had a positive mitzvot to be fruitful and multiply. He had a negative mitzvot, do not eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. After the sin, after he ate, he fell. We all fell.
Question.
Go ahead.
How long did he, you know, after he was, after the negative mitzvot not to eat from the tree, what was said, how long did it take for him to do it?
6 hours he couldn't wait. He was supposed
six
to
hours?
Eat the fruit of the tree. Yeah. Well, 6 hours in our time is 500 years. But in his time, it was 6 hours. He was created, and he was given the mitzvah to not eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And he ate because he couldn't wait 6 hours. Because during Shabbat, if he had eaten, during Shabbat, he would have completed it. He was meant to eat from the fruit. But he couldn't, he was also meant to learn binding by striking. He was meant to learn patience. That was what he lacked. Can you have peace without patience? It's not a rhetorical question.
Yes. No. Yes and no.
Give me your explanations. I believe somebody has fallen asleep.
Yeah,
well, I'm still asleep. I'm still
that means
awake.
You're studying on a higher level. So,
well, you know, you can
give me
I guess.
Explanation.
Huh?
What's your explanation for yes and no?
Well, you could be, I mean, yes and no. I mean, if you really want to have true peace, you have to have patience.
That's the yes. What's
peaceful.
The no?
Okay. And the no is that you could be peaceful but not be at peace. That's my no, because you don't have the patience.
But the word isn't peaceful, the word is peace. So we have these four attributes representing the four letters of the Tetragrammaton. But we have five worlds, right? So there's a fifth attribute. So the sages go through the litany of different attributes. But what did Adam do wrong? He had children, so he performed the positive mitzvah. He was fruitful and he multiplied. But what did he do wrong? He did not stop his reactive nature, which is related to patience. He took a bite. He took a bite of wheat, or he took a bite of a mushroom, or he took a bite of wine, or he took a bite of bread, or maybe the apple. The sages say there are seven fruits of Israel, of Israel, and he took a bite of each one of them, but all of them. And the taste was, the pleasure of that physical substance was so great that he had to have a second bite. It's like a potato chip. Can you only eat one? Everybody knows you're going to eat the whole bag. Nobody can eat just one Lay's potato chip. But a Ripple potato chip, you can eat just one. I'm being facetious, people.
Well, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. He couldn't restrict. I think his nature was to be peace. His nature was peaceful, but he wasn't content.
How
so he didn't really reach the level of actually. Huh?
How was he peaceful? He was intimate with LL, but she didn't want to accept being on the bottom, so she left him. So then God says, all right, I'll take out Eve from inside of you. And since she's coming from within you, but he wasn't peaceful with her either. He left her in the care of the snake, of the Satan, and he went off to be wherever he was. Maybe to hunt, maybe to pick fruits, more than likely to pick fruits. So, what attribute did he fail with?
Peace. Restriction would be like, I'm thinking. If he couldn't restrict, then he failed in the fifth.
Is restriction an attribute that Hashem holds in high esteem?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That's why it's called binding by striking. It's called why it's called binding by striking. The corruption that comes out of the Kabbalah Center is they use the word restriction. And there's a reason why they used it, and it makes sense. I'm not saying that it's totally wrong, but it corrupts your understanding because you're not using the real words. Restriction means you don't give in to your desire. Is that patience or is that something else?
No, it's not patience. It's restriction. You just say, I'm not going to do it. Even though
but
you were...
Isn't that suppression? Isn't that suppression? Can you suppress your desires? Can you suppress your desires? And what happens to the human being who suppresses their desires? They
get frustrated.
They get frustrated. So what is the attribute that Adam had that Adam didn't have that he needed to correct?
Gevura.
Discernment, judgment, power, strength, which of those attributes, because they're all definitions of Gevura.
Oh. He just didn't want to not be allowed to do anything he wanted to. I mean, he could do anything he wanted. Huh?
Isn't that patience?
No. It's just greed. It's just like ego, or I want it. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, you can't say someone as elevated as Adam that he has the ego in the same way that you and I do, because we fell. But put it in a basis, try and understand it from the standpoint. Adam is very elevated. And he wants what he wants when he wants it. But Hashem is saying to him, do not have this item, the fruit of the good of knowledge of evil. You can't have it when you want it. You have to wait. You have to wait until Shabbat comes in. Now, we're not aware that he waited for it, that God told him to wait for it. But essentially, God is not to do something. Doesn't a two-year-old reach out to touch the shiny stove?
Yeah.
And everybody says, don't touch.
Right. Every time we say, we'll be said not to do something, then you're so tempted to do it.
Exactly. That's the trait that's
just
built into the human being. That is the
trait. You just can't restrict yourself.
And you have to learn to control yourself. So maybe the trait is control the desire, which is what binding by striking is. To me, it makes sense to call it patience. Doesn't mean that I'm right. It just makes sense to me. And if you don't agree that the attribute of patience is the right word, find the right word that works for you. In Jasmine's case, it's going to be a Spanish word that doesn't have an English translation.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody has their own language. You'll have to arrive at what it is. But
yeah,
Ruby,
but what I understand
that you're trying to ask, and then I'll come back to you, Jasmine.
Well, I'm sorry,
I probably lost my train of thought. You were asking me a question about the different attributes of Gevura. And you asked me which one was he lacking, which one of those attributes that fall under Gevura was he lacking.
Debbie, I'm going back even further. You asked, there's these four traits that are arguing, mercy, righteousness, truth and and peace. And that's where your first question was. And we got sidetracked. I allowed ourselves to be sidetracked because as you study that story, there's a lot of questions that you need to ask and then answer for yourself. So I don't want to leave you tonight with the questions unanswered.
Oh, I want to say something about patience for me means that you can wait because anyways it's gonna be yours anyways. I mean, I'll wait.
So that is correct. Patience is staying in the moment. Don't I always tell you, you got to stay in the now? We're going to have all of the wisdom when Mashiach comes, right?
Right.
But what have we tried to do throughout history? Somebody thinks they're Mashiach, so they try and grab it all. They don't wait. They don't have patience. I've given you a lot to think about tonight, and there's a lot of things that I read that you need to kind of contemplate. You need to contemplate. There's a lot of sections, a lot of wisdom in those sections. How come not everybody's studying Kabbalah? Rabbi Ashlag explained it in section 8 or 9, I believe. Why is everybody studying Kabbalah? Because they're trying to jump from one step to another step, but they're missing three steps in the middle. There's a lot of wisdom in what I read. There's a lot of wisdom in this sefer that we're reading. So I'm going to leave you tonight. Tomorrow at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class for section 17. And at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, we'll have a Tikkuni Zohar. Shalom to everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shalom to everyone.
Please, that's for now.